Don't let my wife see that guy over there. He's so nice looking, she'd probably leave me to go for him. Y'all be seated if you want to. I don't know if there's 1,000 of you, or 2,000, or 3,000, or 4,000. I can't see anything but 8 freight trains that are coming down the track right here in front of me. All I know is I feel like the caboose. Well, I've been enjoying the singing, the music, and everything, and been enjoying the meeting, and been enjoying being here, and I don't know, is my wife still here? Honey, could you, Brother Caleb, she may want to sit there. It might get crowded if you both are there. But just, But it does look like there's a good crowd of you from here to that camera right there. I really feel honored to get to be here. I was visiting with one younger man today. Seemed like everybody in here is younger, but I was visiting with one younger fellow in here today, and he was reassuring me that I wasn't old. And I said, I'm just 4 years away from 60. And he said, well, you're not that old. He was trying to make me feel better. But I don't know, I'm looking around in here and I see some folks that are older than I am. I mean, you look older than I do. Tim Brim looks older than I do. I mean, you know, don't pick on the big guys. But this is a great night to be in the house of the Lord and all my friends. I've probably preached about all of you at one time or another. I just didn't. Boy, that whole line of guys standing over there, is that the bouncers? Are you guys for us or against us over there? Okay, just checking. Just checking. You can put your guns away, men. They're with us over there. But I would love, I tell you what I'd love. I know we're scattered, and I know that there's probably 427,000 people that are just right now thinking about going to the bathroom, and everybody else is thinking about going to play basketball. And here I am in this great big place thinking about somebody getting the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's play. I'm going to play a slow song. I'm going to play. I haven't even caught up yet with some of them that Tim folks was singing. Play a slow song. I want you to notice that this is the first time that I have ever preached behind a see-through pulpit. First time. I mean, this is a monumental plastic. This is a, you know, I thought glass may be a little cracked, but this is monumental for me. I don't adapt well to change. I don't even enjoy changing my socks. So this is really a treat. This is really a treat. But I want you to grab your Bibles if you got one, and I want you to open it if you can, and I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. You'll find it right before the book of Revelation. I appreciate all the folks, Brother Dave and Sister Anna and Courtney from West Plains, and my wife and Sister Sharon and Brother Brian and Dustin and Dana and all of the home folks that come up here to support me. They're the ones in the back of the church right now that I can't even find. Kidding you. I just got this one verse, and it's in Exodus chapter number 3. And I agree with Brother Norman. I believe in the Trinity. I really do. And I agree with Brother Ralston. I believe in heaven. I believe the Lord is a coming back. And I believe with Brother Shoecraft that there is a hell that is so hot that anybody that ends up there will wish that they had took a different turn during this meeting. I believe tomorrow that Brother Gallagher, what he brings to this pulpit, just because I believe in him, and I believe I know him, I believe I will agree with him by the time he gets finished. And the same with Brother Perry. And the same with Brother Brim. But I tell you what else I believe. I'm going to tell you what else I believe. I believe that I should preach out of chapter 3 of Exodus and read you this one verse. It's verse number 3. It's catchy, ain't it? 3, 3. Huh? Okay. I wasn't good in math either. Here it is. Exodus 3, verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn. Really, I shouldn't have to read any more of that, but I will. I will turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. It's what I think. I think sometimes we come to meetings like this and we get so absolutely positively charged up with the excitement of the meeting, and we get charged up with the excitement of the harmony and some of the greatest singing that you have ever heard, and great fellowship, and some of us are just glad that we're not at home. We just got away from the house. Somebody else is taking care of my cats, and here we are. Here we are. Found a thrift store today. Went shopping. The thrift store. And didn't have nothing. Wasted my time. But let me tell you what I believe. I believe that if you could get just a few of us in this room tonight interested in turning from where you are at towards something that you really, really need. I think that some of the demonic spirits that snuck in through those doors and came under the wraps of sometimes the best looking people in the world, I believe we could have a service in here tonight where somebody could get free or somebody could get loose, or somebody could say goodbye, somebody could say hello, somebody could get something that they need from God. And really, I just think that this is a great opportunity just to shout in the face of hell that there is a fire that burns and a bush that burns that is not consumed. And it would behoove every one of us as Pentecostals to get baptized with that fire. How long have you sat in a Pentecostal church? How long have you sat in a Pentecostal church, ma'am, sir, young man, young lady, and you still don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the power of God. I believe in heaven. I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe in hell. And I believe that Pentecostal people ought to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you've got one charismatic strain in your entire body, you need a shot. You need to be inoculated. I can think of a couple more tests that they should do to you at the hospital that would really bring a smile to your face. If there's a compromising, charismatic kind of spirit that thinks you can waltz into the house of the holy among independent holiness folk and put on some little sideshow, I'm telling you, there is a fire that really does burn. And this one I'm talking about, it never goes out. It never goes out. And it doesn't consume that person. It doesn't consume that bush that it gets on. It just stays there, a steady fire. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at a young generation. They're steady about ball scores. And they're steady about their latest ball team. And they're steady about the latest car. Or they're steady about the latest game. Or they're steady about the latest. But they're not steady with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I can tell that is, I'm looking at a generation that doesn't know that word constant. A constant. I'm in this thing. I'm in this thing. I'm in this thing. I tell you, I think this would be a great night to shout. We're in this expo center. I have felt this floor vibrate. I really have. I'm not sure it was you singing or if it was my stomach growling, but I have felt this floor vibrate. But I'm telling you, vibrating this floor ain't going to last any longer than when a janitor comes in and sweeps his place out and you go home. But vibrating your church, changing your choir, turning your Sunday school class upside down, being around that altar, seeking the face of God, singing something besides some old sad, dead, dry country song. I'm telling you, that's the fire that I believe in. That's the fire. Now listen. I mean, we've got a bunch of folks, you know, I know we have folks in our movement. I mean, they're blazers, all right. They're trailblazers and every other kind of blazer you can think about. They shine. They glow. The flame leaps all over them when they're performing or when they're up. But the rest of the time, you couldn't tell they had an experience in the baptism of the Holy Ghost if the cow was in the cabbage patch. And I want to change that. I want to change that. I want people to look at us and tell when they see us at Walmart or see us at the grocery store that that ain't just your common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill people. That's people of the fire. That's the folks that believe in a Holy Ghost. Listen. Sunday night at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, I came to church. We're in our fellowship hall having church because we're remodeling the bathrooms. And it's not quite this big, but the floor is just as hard and slick. We were having church and I went in there Sunday night to, just my bunch. Not a big bunch, just my bunch. Really thought that for my part, I didn't do half bad. And then my wife stood up back there and she said, "Can I say something?" There's some things in government you vote on. You vote on presidents. You vote on taxes. But when your wife wants to say something, you don't vote. You don't vote. Don't sit there and look dumb at me like that. Nod your head up and down. I'm telling you. And I said, yes. Say whatever you feel like. I knew she hadn't felt well. I knew she'd been going through a tough place. And I'm telling you, she got excited and she got anointed. And so help me if they had ran her for pastor, I believe she'd have got more votes than I would have. And before she was done, some of my young married folks and some of my younger folks had come out of them seats. They shouted out in that aisle. Some of them husbands shouted away from their wives, and some of the young folks shouted away from their parents. I even had the attention of three or four of the guys that sat in the back that really need to keep my attention most of the time. They went to shouting in that place, and I'm telling you, brother, sister, it dawned upon me that is the fire. That's what we're looking for. That thing that'll bring you out of where you're at and move you up from where you're sitting and get you on your feet and cause you to participate instead of be a spectator. Now listen, pray, honey. Pray, wife. And we'll tell you something. There was a service a couple of years ago at Granite City Camp Meeting. I was doing the day slot. I love the day slot. And I was doing the day slot. Doing the day slot over there for them folks. They work during the day. Listen, I was doing the day slot. And I came in on that morning, and I looked up on the platform, and where I'd been sitting, and Brother Brim had been sitting, and everybody else that was totally bored with the entire going on of the day service had been sitting. But that morning, I looked up there on the platform, and there, the young folks that were there in the morning service had asked Brother Brim, could we sit up on the platform? Check your defibrillator. Run a blood pressure cuff around my arm and squeeze it and make sure that I'm in a place where young folks had told the pastor, we just want to stir things up. We just want to change things up. Now, I'm telling you, that's a far cry from stirring ourselves in and allowing the world to change us. There is a big difference, brother, sister, in changing the world and the world changing us. It's called sanctification. And the only way you're going to live holy and live right and change anything is to find that fire that burns. And are you getting this? You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought I needed a new outfit for Easter. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought if I snuck in with a white long sleeve shirt that goes all the way down to my knuckles, that would qualify me to do something for Brother Webb if he wanted me to. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I can tell by some of the dating relationships that some of you young people have. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nod your head up and down and look at me. I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will change the world, not allow the world to change us. And you need a baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I think tonight would be a great night in this place to shout it in the face of hell. I believe in the fire. I believe in the power that doesn't. I believe in. I think this would be a great night to do that. Next year, I am all ready for 10,000 people to go into Freedom Hall or Freedom Arena. And I mean, I am for it. I think it'd be a wonderful thing. But I'm telling you, if this coming year somebody doesn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to be part of that number. I'm telling you, some people are just hanging on by the skin of their teeth because they want to look like us and they want to sound like us and they want to be among us, but they ain't got the fire that we have. Pray, sweetheart. I want to submit something to you. I am tired of going to churches and having song leaders walk up to the podium, open their songbook, tell me that they got a sore throat, clear their throat 27 times, look at the congregation and say, "Does anybody have a song that you'd like to sit down? Sit down. Are you listening to me? You ain't got enough fire to light a wet noodle. Sit down. I'm tired of going into church services and being part of church services that the preachers get their message outline out of the freezer. And the only time that they thaw it out is when they spit on it for 20 minutes. I'm telling you, I recognize something. That's going to kill us from the inside out. I'm not so worried about the charismatics coming into my building. I'm worried about the Holy Ghost not being in the house. I'm telling you, we'd put a guard. I'm losing my guards. I'm down to three now. I believe in the Trinity. Listen, this is what I tell you. Oh, woo! Boy, they look like Mormons. Y'all just hang on. Joseph Smith wants to see you right after service. Listen, I want to tell you something. I mean, I go into these church services, and I had a guy the other night visit our church. The other day, visit our church. He had a ponytail. That's okay. It's okay. I mean, I know. You know, you expect sinners to look like sinners. And it's okay if he has a ponytail. It's okay. This is a ponytail knife. Right here. This is a ponytail knife designed solely for ponytails. Yeah. And that's okay. I'm thrilled. I mean, a guy came into our church a while back. He was wanting a handout. He had tattoos. He just had tattoos. I don't even want to know where all he had tattoos. Because where he did have tattoos was enough for me. He had them on his face. Had them around his eyes, you know. And I was watching that guy. I mean, I could tell he didn't dress like any of the rest of the folks. He looked a little strange. I mean, it takes me a little while to determine whether it's a tattoo or eye makeup. But I was looking at this guy. Both of it just puts me on alert. But I was watching him come. We watched the door. If some knucklehead come through that door tonight, I mean somebody, and decided he was going to come in here and tear up this meeting, why, you know what we'd do? I'd run back there behind that curtain, and I'd say, "David Webb's in charge of this meeting." That's what we'd do. I mean, I ain't a moron. We watch them doors. But that's not where my trouble's coming from. That's not where I'm having trouble. That's not where our camp meetings are dying. That's not where our song services have about as much thunder as a little rain cloud. The trouble is on the inside. For the saints to begin to pray, for the Lord to have his way, we need that fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Inside. I mean, listen. I fill in the blank. Moses saw, "I need that burning bush again, or some fire. I need you to give me something on that screen that looks like Pepto-Bismol. Couldn't even put it out. You got something over here? Ha, ha, ha. Woo!
That's a bush rocket.
Just hang on. You see that? Huh? Where's Benny Hinn when you need him? Sterilize his ponytail knife while I'm at it. You don't know what else has been cutting. Listen, I'm telling you, we're missing that. You can tell by the way our preachers would say, "Are you here? Can you help me? Would you help me preach? Are you in the house? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you?" Oh, shut up! There ought to be such a fire of the Holy Ghost inside of us. We wouldn't have to have directions. We're not trying to hand out. We're not trying to hand out a Rand McNally Road Atlas of how to have a service in 3 hours or less. There are devils in our midst. There are demons in the house. There are young people in here tonight that look like they are clothed and in their right mind, and they are so addicted to pornography and things on the internet that if we could look over their shoulder, it would cause us to blush. There are young ladies in here tonight that have the morals of an alley cat. There are young men in here that wouldn't think any more of defiling a young lady than they would going to the county fair. And I'm telling you, those spirits can only be combated in the house of God with a fire that burns brighter than the fire that they have. I am absolutely, positively anti-country western music. I don't everybody shout it once, but I'm anti-country western music. If Tim McGraw wanted to start sending me his tithe check, I'd pray about it. And who else? I'm trying to think of somebody else. I'm so far behind. Is George Jones dead yet? Can you all give me a name of somebody that's a little more current? Who said Carrie Underwood? How'd you know? Listen, can you? Just wait. It was a setup. I'm telling you, I'm not too up on some of those trends that we have. But I'm up on this. If Amazing Grace doesn't put you on your feet saying glory be to God, you're listening to something else that's dragging you down. And there's a reason why young people don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a reason why. Now listen, if you get tired of standing up, you can sit back down. But we're not just trying to change people like frying eggs in a pan, or we're not just trying to change people by some little old sleight of hand or some little old trick in the pulpit. We're trying to let young people know right here in this room that there is a fire that you can get on the inside of you. Some of you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been very fortunate because when you backslid, God was merciful to you and He allowed you to be refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you right here, right now, the only thing that's going to get us over the hump is for you to have a fire that is brighter than anything that the world has to offer. Now listen. Are you going to say it? I'm going to say it. In some of our services, yes, in some of our meetings, I get the feeling that sometimes the young ladies feel like they've been more called to be a... Ain't it amazing how quiet 4,000 people can be when you're fixing to say something they don't want to hear? I'm afraid that sometimes in our Pentecostal meetings, some of our young men come into those meetings and we're not here to make a fashion statement. Don't you look at me like that. We're not here to make a fashion statement. Well, I tell you, Brother Hyde, you're wearing that old suit up there and that old green tie up there. I tell you what, I believe you could do a little bit better. I can. Just whatever you want to buy, just send me the check and I'll pray about it. But listen, we're not here to make a fashion statement. I was on my way to church tonight, and I felt sorry for some of the young folks that I saw coming out of the hotel. They could hardly walk to the car. Don't look at me like that. They could hardly walk to the car. And some of the guys that come walking out there, I'm telling you in your heart, you already had your sleeves rolled up. You was already on your way to shoot some hoops. And I'm afraid that we're missing something very vital here. And that very vital thing that we're missing is if we are not in a condition to allow the Holy Ghost to have His way in a church service where we're at, we need to get fixed in some kind of a right way so that fire can burn in our midst. You hear me? I wasn't very athletic when I was growing up. I was the basketball. Kidding you. I wasn't very athletic. I'm better now. I can do several push-ups from the table to my feet. I wasn't very athletic. But I was musically inclined. And now I'm musically declined, but I was musically inclined. And I recognized at an early age the fires of Floyd Kramer and Boots Randolph were fixing to possess my life if I didn't get another fire that can burn brighter than that. If you know more about your latest baseball team and their batting averages than you do the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to turn toward a different fire. If you know more about who's going to play the Super Bowl game than you do of who's going to sing the power down in your little Sunday night church service, you, sir, you need to turn toward a different fire. If the only thing that dictates, young ladies, what you wear is something that you saw in some kind of magazine, you need to turn toward a different fire. Because I want to tell you again, it ain't the outside it's killing us. It's allowing the fire to go out on the inside that's killing us. Listen, I don't know if anybody's sitting in this church tonight. I don't know if anybody feels like that your call of God is to be a mannequin. Anybody in here called to be a mannequin? I witness to all of them that I can when I go in them stores. It's good practice, and it keeps the Mormons away from you. Listen, it's all right, guys. You guys got more than one wife. I won't talk to you after church. Listen, I'm telling you, I see this happening to us. And while we're all wanting to break out of here, and I am too, and I'm going to wind this thing down, I'm just going to tell you this. I wish you'd tell me if it's the Holy Ghost that's attracting you, and if it ain't, I wish you'd tell me what you have allowed to mean more to you than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're dating some girl that's not any more saved than a blue tick coon hound, you need a dose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you, young lady, if you are making eyes at some guy in the service tonight that looks about as saved as I'm trying to think of somebody that thinks they're saved and they really aren't as saved as they think they are. I'm having trouble since I figure half of this will be on the internet anyway. And since I got more trouble now than I know what to do with, I'm going to leave that to your imagination. But some of you girls, you need to leave that guy alone. You need to part company with that guy. Some of you young ladies and some of you young men inside this place that has Baptist boyfriends and Baptist girlfriends, and you sitting in Methodist churches and you're about as spiritual as a hiccup, you need a different kind of fire to be turning toward. Now don't sit there and look at me like that. I'm telling you, I'm not up here to win an award, and I'm not up here to get your vote. I'm up here to see to it that a movement that I've given my life to can get together on a Friday night and shout with the power of the Holy Ghost when somebody tells us about the fire. Listen, right here. There are young people in this house. I know it. The reason I know it, there are young people in this room right now. And don't let folks moving around fret you. If you're in the very back and you're being distracted and you're having trouble listening, come on up here toward the front. Don't let it knock you out. Don't let it knock you out. We're not giving out seating arrangements here. We're not. But there are young people sitting in this service right now that your entire worry in life is you're at that awkward stage where you don't even know if you fit in. And there are young people sitting in this auditorium tonight that are battling such bouts of depression that if we knew what went on in your mind of a night when the lights were out, we'd be dialing 911. Young people sitting on the edge of destruction, sitting in Pentecostal churches, unhappy, unfulfilled, unresponsive, and unregenerated. Are you listening? There are young men sitting in this time. Now listen. I am not going to stand up here and propose to you that everybody in this house is going to accept this and take this and run with it and turn this into a night to remember. Out of 12, Jesus had trouble with one. So I'm not going to suppose there's going to be boys walk out of this service tonight and they're going to have the same stinking, nobody going to tell me what to do attitude that they had when they came in the house. Sir, you are not something new on our list. You just happen to be here and we're going to work around you. There are people in this service tonight that are so bound by music and so bound by the spirit of that outside music that stuff you've heard in here tonight has bored you. Sir, we're not going to try to get that out of you because you're hell-bound and your heart is set on it. But I'm going to tell you, there's some other young folks in here tonight. There's some other young folks in here tonight that can get a good old look at the fire and lean back and say, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to look like that. I don't want to be like that. Look out. Look out. Look out. Are you telling me? Yeah. Are you telling me that right now in this church, with what's eating on me right now, Brother Height, that if I would get up, step out into an aisle, and bring my needs toward that bush that burns and is not consumed, that I could feel deliverance in this church service tonight, and that I could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that what you're trying to tell me? I wonder what the service night was like when Brother Ryan Ralston got the Holy Ghost. I wonder what Brother David Brim was thinking on the service night that he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wonder what it was like the night that the Holy Ghost fell on Brother Lloyd Shoecraft or upon Brother Dwayne Gallagher. I wonder what it was like the night that the glory of the Lord found my wife or touched Sister Ruthie Brim, or the glory of God touched Sister Gal. I wonder what it was like that night. But I'm going to tell you something. God's no respecter of persons. And what He brought us out of, He'll bring you out of it. You hear me? What He rescued us from, He'll rescue from it. So you're telling me right now, Brother Hyde, I mean, Travis ain't even picked up the guitar. The drummer don't even know where the sticks are at. The piano player has walked away from the keys. And even your wife ain't still up there. Are you telling me that without fanfare and a bunch of blare, I could stand up in this auditorium, step out into an aisle, walk toward that platform, raise my hands, and find the right kind of fire? Are you telling me that? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you telling me it won't work? Are you telling me it won't? Are you telling me that that old time way of shouting and singing and praying and getting saved, you tell me that don't still work? I'm telling you, give it a try. Your little fist just tightened up to where your nails are digging in the palms of your hands, because you don't even like to get up in front of your Sunday school class, let alone step out into an aisle where 4,000 people are looking at you. And I'm telling you, we're not in this thing for some kind of walk of fame. And we're not in this room to see if we can bring Hollywood to Louisville, Kentucky. We're in this room tonight to see how many devils we can run out of this tabernacle by allowing the real fire of God to start burning in the lives of young people that need it. That's what we're in here for. You hear me? That's what we're in here for. That's what we're in here for. A couple of you guys grab him. I'm telling you, I haven't lost my mind. And I'm not here trying to get on next year's convention circuit. I'm in here to tell you that there's a fire of God that I got to have back in West Plains, Missouri, when I get there this weekend. And I'm not going to let it go out tonight. I'm not going to let it go out tonight. You hear me? I ain't going to. I mean, if this is what we say it is, and the delivering power of the Holy Ghost is in this house, now I know we got folks that come in this direction. I want y'all to listen. I mean, if you normally come, you're going to in a minute. Hang on. I'm looking for somebody in this congregation right here, right now, that has such a raging fire on the inside of you that you know it's going to be your destruction, and you want to change fire tonight. I'm looking for some young man that needs to change the fire that he's fooling with tonight. I'm looking for some young lady that'll look over at somebody close to her and say, "Will you just go down there with me? Well, you're going to understand with me. I have a fire inside that I need to change. I am attracted to a fire that's heading to my destruction. And Brother Heights said, there is a fire that Moses turned aside to see. And if it's there for Moses, it'll be there for me tonight. You've prayed about the baptism of the Holy Ghost until you're wore out. Step out into an aisle. Step out into an aisle. You've prayed about the Holy Ghost until you're wore out. Step out to an aisle. Yeah. Step out into an aisle. You've asked the fire of God to deliver you so many times. Step out into an aisle. Fill the side of this place. Shout in the back of the house. I'm telling you, there is a fire, and it's for this side right now. You too crowded? Are you too crowded to let the Holy Ghost have His way? Fix that. Fix it. You too crowded back there to worship God? Fix that. There's a whole area right there where there is nobody standing. There's a whole area over here where nobody's standing. Hey, woo! There's a whole area right over there where nobody's standing. And I'm telling you together, right here, right now, let's pray for a move of the Holy Ghost and fire. Woo! To fall in this. I got power about the whole. And somebody leaned back, felt the fire of God, and they just got healed. And some young person raised their hand and told God, I'll give it all. And the next thing we heard, they were speaking in an unknown language. There's a young lady that lifted her hands and said, sanctify me. And her entire life has just been rewritten. The husband brought his wife. There was such tension in the car. They're not even sure that the marriage is going to work. And suddenly on Friday night, the Holy Ghost fell in that tabernacle. Woo! And young folks got to shouting. Mamas and daddies got to worshiping. People got to dancing. The glory of God got to falling. And they had revival. They had revival on a Friday night. If you need healing, just reach over. Tell somebody you're standing by. Pray for me. I need healing. We can't all get to everybody. And I encourage all of you, join the service. I encourage all of you back there. Woo! Join the service. There can be a move of the Holy Ghost in the back of the house. Just like the front. In fact, if he's gone on the platform, and he's got back at the door. If he's got in the amen corner, and he's got all over the floor, then there ain't nobody in this house. Woo! Has to leave without feeling the fire. If your daughter is fighting depression, and you're close enough to get to her. Lay your hands on your child, mama, daddy, pastors. If you know there's somebody in here that's a fighting the depression of the universe, find them. Shake their arm. Grab a hold of the nap of their neck. I'm telling you, this ain't a night to worry about your necktie. This ain't a night to worry about the flower in your hair. I'm worried about a move of the Holy Ghost. What would happen if a dozen of these young ladies right here would lift their hands, let the Holy Ghost have his way in their life, and then just go to shouting? I don't know. Probably the same thing would happen right over here in these men. If you young men would raise your hands, let the Holy Ghost have his way. Call the next camp meeting speaker. Sanctify the next preacher's wife. Woo! Get the next missionary ready. The night the Holy Ghost fell. Woo! I'm telling you, preacher, if you dread going to the pulpit on Sunday morning, raise your hands. Ask the Holy Ghost to fire you back up. Young preacher, youth leader, woo! Fire me back up. I wish somebody visiting Louisville would pull up out front of this auditorium, step inside that door, and ask the question, what in the world is going on in there? I wish somebody would step in that door and wonder, what in the world's going on in there? So we could answer, somebody's getting deliverance. Somebody's getting the Holy Ghost. Somebody's getting called to preach. Somebody's getting their life straightened out. Somebody's getting a call like a, woo! Tell the world! It ain't gonna change us. We're gonna change it. One altar at a time. And I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Burning with the Holy Ghost. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. Somebody's voice, somebody's praise, somebody's vision, somebody's life would catch on fire. I hope you're standing right beside somebody that's fixing to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they're fixing to knock your glasses right off your face. Guard your glasses. Guard your glasses. We ain't just going to gather around here and have a few little tiddlywinks. We're gathering around here because there's spirits to be defeated, bodies to be healed, young people to be delivered.